The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 12 degrees with a light drizzle at Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Esther Moran. Hope everyone had a happy Halloween. Here are today's headlines. Doctors highlight an ER emergency. Potential shortage for psych positions. New numbers on financial anxiety hitting minority communities. The situation in Quebec emergency rooms is getting worse. In a letter penned by Le Regroupement des Chefs d'Urgence du Québec, the group is asking hospital officials for more support. Our reporter, Sharoma Jess-Boudou, joins us at the studio to discuss the matter. So, Sharoma, can you tell us the main concerns brought up in the letter?
So the first letter the group penned was back in June, and essentially they were asking that hospital management, so CEOs and the higher ups, offer ER staff more support in dealing with the overcrowding situation that the hospitals are currently experiencing right now. But the letter was met with no action. So they recently penned another letter asking for support again and extended that letter to the Ministry of Health and to the Minister of Health, Mr. Christian Dubé.
And why is that such a mess?
So there are many factors that are contributing to the overcrowding that's happening in our ERs at the moment. One of the major issues is that a lot of Quebecers don't have family doctors. And so when they are experiencing illnesses and sicknesses, their only option is to go to emergency rooms to seek medical help. Another issue is the fact that a lot of people who are recovering from sicknesses in the ER don't have, there's not enough beds in the hospitals for them to be able to move to those places to recover, or for them to be able to find outsourced outpatient recovery facilities as well. The last reason, and probably one of the most major issues, is the fact that a lot of doctors and nurses, there are not enough doctors and nurses for the amount of patients that are found in our ER right now, and this is due to a major staff shortage. I talked to Cassandra Katola, a receptionist at the Hôpital Brome-Missisquoi in Perkins, and she basically was telling me about how she sees a lot of nurses are struggling to keep up with the demand that they're experiencing.
But I see, like, they're constantly short staff on nurses. There's most of the days they're always short at least 2 to 3 nurses per shift. So it means that nurses often have to do 16-hour shifts. They're forced into it. It's called imposed overtime.
And Sharoma, what are the consequences if the situation is not addressed soon?
So over the last few years, the government has brought forth a lot of mandates to help hospitals deal with these situations, but they're more considered band-aid solutions, and they don't actually address the real issue at hand. I talked to Dr. Michael Kalin, and he was telling me how it's really important that we find a way to combat this issue, because we're finding ourselves moving into the colder seasons where a lot of people are going to be experiencing more flu-like symptoms. And he said that there are two extremes that can happen if the situation is not resolved in the immediate future.
Oh, it's devastating. I mean, some people, you know, are going to come in for a cold and they'll be inconvenienced. And some people are going to the emergency rooms with life-threatening conditions, and unfortunately they can die.
Next, while ER doctors are begging for more help, foreign-trained doctors are having a hard time being accepted into residency in Quebec med schools. Tatiana Moulouali-Pétier has the story.
Quebec is the province that employs the least foreign-trained doctors, with only 9% of doctors having gone through med school outside of Canada practicing in the province. This number is below the national average of 26%. Saskatchewan, where almost 50% of doctors are foreign-trained, is at the top of the list. The regional chief of family medicine in Quebec, Dr. Callan, says that hiring foreign doctors could be part of the solution to the healthcare crisis in Quebec.
I think that we have qualified foreign doctors who should be expedited through a process where they can practice, whether it's in the hospital, in the emergency room, or even in primary care. I don't think that that can on its own solve the problem, but it's certainly one that we've dragged our feet on for a long time.
CITIS is an organization responsible for assessing international healthcare graduates. Their representative, Guy Trottier, explains that the issue mostly lies with the faculties of medicine. Many obtained equivalences from the Collège des Médecins, but then cannot practice because they have to redo their residency in medicine, and some people who have equivalences are not admitted in residency. The Collège des Médecins said they are willing to open more doors for foreign doctors, but in the meantime, the doctors are still needed everywhere in the province, and people willing to help are being turned away. This was Tatiana Melopelletier for Cocondio News.
Thank you, Tatiana. Next, the Montreal Jewish General Hospital has announced the opening of a new clinic that will help people with long-standing symptoms of COVID-19 and Lyme disease. Jessica Jakovics has the story live from the studio. So, Jessica, what is the information on the clinic?
Quebec had announced that there would be 15 clinics opening up for people with long-standing symptoms of COVID-19 and Lyme disease in Quebec. The Jewish General Hospital announced that they will be one of them. Andrew Haymond is one of these people who have long-standing symptoms after having COVID in February.
I've been suffering with fatigue and shortness of breath. Daily tasks a little hard to do during my day.
And what is the demand for these types of clinics?
Well, Statistics Canada came out with a new study that reported 1.4 million Canadians have long-standing symptoms 3 months after they were infected with COVID, as well as people with Lyme disease have reported having symptoms after their treatment has ended. Catherine Paquette-Gascon, a nurse from the external clinic at Saint-Eustache Hospital, weighs in.
Investigate, you know, the impact that it would be having on the population in general. So now it's been it's been 3 years. You know, we've been through. We haven't been through everything, but I do think we need to know more about COVID, about long-term COVID, and about Lyme disease also, because those are like new emerging viruses.
And what are the qualifications for getting into the clinic?
To get into the clinic, you have to be at least 18 years of age. You have to have tested positive for COVID-19 using a PCR test or from a doctor's office. You have to have had COVID-19 symptoms that were not present before the person had the infection. And the symptoms have to be constant for 12 weeks or more. As for Lyme disease, people must have tested positive and have constant symptoms. Here's Nurse Paquette-Gascon again.
And a lot of people are coming up to us and they're having all of those, you know, onset symptoms since they had originally contracted COVID.
She believes that this clinic will help many people with their long-standing symptoms since many patients have come into the hospital. She works at these persistent systems. Thank you, Jessica. That was Jessica Jakovics on the opening of the new clinic at Jewish General Hospital. In other news, last night at 5 p.m., a man, 75, has died in third-degree burns after his house caught fire in Dollard-des-Ormeaux in the West Island. Firefighters put out the blaze by 5:30 p.m. He was in critical condition and unconscious when taken to the hospital, but later died of his injuries. No one else was hurt and nothing else but the house was damaged in the fire. It is not considered a criminal investigation at this time. Next, the institutional rules of universities in Quebec don't help solve the shortage in psychologists. A PhD is mandatory to become a licensed clinician, but only in 6 undergraduate students manage to get into the program. Leila Auhuman has the story.
Universities take on more undergraduate students for experimental psychology and research than they do for practice, because they get government funding to pay for the work they do in the lab. But they have to pay of their own pocket for clinicians, which means there are less opportunities for students who want to become licensed psychologists. Savannah is in psychology at Concordia and finds it hard to plan her professional future.
You know, it's discouraging. I think, unfortunately, you know, as a Quebecer, we are very limited as an Anglophone person who wants to get their PhD or their master's even minimally in psychology, because there are such minimal spots. So I don't even hold my breath to know that I would potentially be accepted into Concordia. So it's really to have to accept the fact that I'm going to probably have to move elsewhere within Canada or even to the United States.
At Concordia, only 2 undergraduate students are allowed to get into the PhD program. In total, a maximum of 12 to 14 students are admitted per year, both at Concordia and McGill. Only a few of those actually become psychologists after they graduate. Dr. Marcella Chiromo, a university psychology professor, is worried about the high numbers of students who leave their programs.
The thing that we don't want is for students to lose interest in the field. So ways to continue to engage students, to continue to be interested in the field, and also think of other ways that they can do what they want to do. I think people think that there's so many different directions you can take the field of psychology. So talking about that, because we need them, they're needed.
This is Leila Uma for Concordia News.
Next, the lack of foster homes for English-speaking children in Montreal is a huge crisis. Youth and Family Services are experiencing a higher volume of children in need of shelter and loving homes than ever before. Louise Brandouhuk is joining us in the studio to discuss this important issue. So, Louise, why is there such a shortage in people willing to take in foster children these days?
Well, most people have a fear of the unknown. They're worried that they don't have the ability to take on children who may have greater needs than the typical child. But what they don't know is that the reward greatly outweighs the risk.
And why should more people foster children?
Because every child deserves a home, and why shouldn't they? I spoke with Montreal resident Lorraine Sheepwash, who says that becoming a foster parent has been the greatest gift of her life. She's been fostering children for 32 years and has given homes to over 80 children.
Your job is done with one and you start new with another, and it continues like that. And you build all these tiny little relationships with these children, and to see them blossom is very rewarding.
And Louise, is this issue impacting certain communities more than others?
Absolutely. Children of minority groups are especially flooding foster care centers at the moment. For that reason, foster parents of all backgrounds are needed, but especially Black or Indigenous. In a city as diverse as Montreal, you'd think that people falling in this category would be easy to find. But Youth and Family Services in the region all agree that the situation is critical.
So what can we expect for the future for foster care organizations?
This issue is nowhere near being resolved. Youth Services in Montreal are making a call to anyone who would be able to foster these children and enrich both their lives and the children's.
Thank you, Louise. That was Louise Lebrun-Newhook on the foster home crisis. Next, in Terrebonne, this morning, an 18-year-old man was arrested in a stolen vehicle after a wild police chase. The car crashed into a residence and was chased by Sûreté Québec police officers on the North Shore of Montreal on Monday night. The chase started in Laval this morning at 12:30 a.m. Despite the police flashing their lighters at the car, he continued and took the exit to Lévesque Boulevard East before turning onto Roger Lortie Avenue towards Terrebonne. The investigation is still going on. Next, a 19-year-old man was run over by a van at 7:44 this morning on the corner of Saint-Augustin, just off Saint-Émilie in the West Island. He was lying on the road when the van hit him and is now in critical condition at the hospital. He was found unconscious with an injured upper body. The 53-year-old driver was not hurt and remains on the site. Witnesses were contacted and the investigation is ongoing. The Saint-Augustin street remains closed at this time as they continue further investigation. There is no further news at this time. Next, the City of Montreal is unveiling a new bike plan this morning. The plan covers a 4 years period from 2023 to 2027. In its previous plan, the city wanted to almost double bike lanes length on the island. Our reporter, Clément Lechat, is joining us from Montreal North. Clément, did the city keep up with its ambitions?
I'm currently at Henri Bourassa Park, and based on my observations, I can say that not all the bike lanes planned in the previous plan were constructed. They are missing on Pascal Street, Daisy Avenue, and Roland Boulevard. Figures on the last plan's general outcomes are not yet made public, but knowing that the plan was very ambitious, it's understandable that it could be difficult to reach.
And why is this plan announced for Montreal North specifically?
It's the neighborhood in the metropolitan region of Montreal with the least bike lanes, so there is actually a need for some infrastructure in Montreal North. This is not a coincidence if the city chose this location for the press conference today. A spokesperson said linking peripheral neighborhoods is one of their top priorities. Giovia, where I'm right now, didn't used to have any bike lanes back in 2019 when the city announced its first plan, and it's still not the case. Some existing bike lanes are located on the main boulevard and avenues, but not in the residential streets. I did not see a lot of bikers this morning, perhaps because it's not safe to bike in the area. But I talked to the only one I saw. His name is Simon, and he lives in NDG.
I'm in NDG, and we really need improvements, including like for winter, and for all ages, safer infrastructures for all, and across the city, and such as on La Cordaire right here.
And what are the reasons behind this lack of bike lanes in Montreal North?
There are fewer bike paths in Montreal's most disadvantaged neighborhoods, where the greatest proportion of racialized people live, according to a recent study by the University of Montreal. Investments used to go in priority to downtown, wealthy and gentrified areas, but bike lanes are known to improve quality of life, well-being, physical activity, air quality, and mental health. So it's a public health issue. The City of Montreal seems aware of that because the Regional Director for Public Health, Dr. Mylène Drouin, is present today at the press conference.
Thank you, Clément. That's Clément Le Chat, live from Montreal North. Next, 85% of Quebecers are experiencing anxiety as a result of Quebec's economic situation, according to Centraide of Greater Montreal and Leger Marketing. These two groups released the first financial anxiety index that has been done in Quebec. Russell Tellier interviewed Edgar Gay on the topic.
Is the economic situation affecting minorities in Quebec more than it's affecting non-minorities? And is the government doing enough to help people deal with this situation?
You look basically at the starting point. You look at a start where people went into, if we can use the pandemic as a marker, right? If we can use that as a gauge, you look at where individuals went into their economic situation at the beginning of the pandemic, and you'll find minorities right at the bottom of that list. They were represented higher among the unemployed. They were represented higher among the underemployed, and they represent, you know, it's been like that for quite a while, and it hasn't changed in any significant way. So, you know, you look at people going into a situation of distress like the pandemic caused on society, they went in there severely hobbled. So as a consequence of the pandemic and all the other things that impacted on the economy since then, you have to know that minorities are greater affected. You know, I'm talking about minority families, individuals. They were the ones who were in the low-paying jobs. They were the ones in the service industry jobs. And when we look at the inflation running somewhere around 7%, now it moved a little bit down to 6.9%. Those families and individuals are still receiving minimum wage, and nothing has changed in terms of, you know, getting them to deal with increasing costs.
This was Russell Tellier speaking with Egbert Bay, the editor of Community Contact. For the sports news today, there are some big wins in basketball, football, and hockey. Lots of exciting results for the fans. Our reporter, Lucia Chiassagne, has the details.
Drive, kick, Trent Jr., bucket and book it.
The Toronto Raptors beat the Atlanta Hawks 139-109 last night. Players Scott Barnes and Pascal Siakam showed impressive skills on the court. The defenseman hit three consecutive three-pointers in less than a minute in the first quarter, and the power forward hit 31 points and 12 rebounds. Kawhi Leonard's right knee is still preventing him from joining his team on the road. The Los Angeles Clippers will miss the player during their upcoming two-game road trip to Houston and San Antonio. Head coach Ty Lue said the 31-year-old is frustrated but getting better.
To the right, direct snap with two extra offensive linemen. Touchdown, Cleveland!
Jacoby Brissett's Browns pulled a trick on Halloween, crushing Joe Burrow's Bengals 32-13. The 2020 first overall NFL pick and his team have yet to win a first game against Cleveland this season.
Here is the Blues, Barbashev in front, quick down, makes the save, and they score!
The NHL saw a couple of blowouts last night. The LA Kings had a spectacular score, winning 5-1 against the St. Louis Blues, who managed to score the 1 point at the end of the game, putting their name on their scoreboard.
Far side, one-timer score! TNT with a little trick and treat.
following the Kings' presence were the Buffalo Sabres scoring 8 points against Detroit's Red Wings, who only managed to get 3 pucks in. This marked a second consecutive win for the team.
And it was a long way to get it there, but he finds the middle of the net to make it 7-4.
The Montreal Canadiens are playing the Minnesota Wild tonight. The teams hope to score a third straight win after beating the Blues and Sabres in their last two games. A week ago, the Wilds beat the Habs 3-1 at the Bell Centre. Don't miss their game tonight at 8.
In arts entertainment today, the Montreal Arab World Festival makes its return in person since the pandemic. Another record for Taylor Swift and Festival Cinemania starts tomorrow. Here's Simon Fournet with all in our arts news.
It's guilt. Monsieur Romain Gary, vous êtes un écrivain connu pour votre humanisme. Vous êtes aussi le mari de Jean Seberg, grande actrice de cinéma et militante.
This is the trailer for Chien Blanc, the opening movie for the Francophone Film Festival Cinemania. Cinemania will present 112 movies, including many international and North American premieres, selected from this year's French language cinema, all with English subtitles and accompanied by 22 guests from Europe. Taylor Swift just seems to keep on breaking records with her new album Midnight. It was recently announced that she became the first artist in history to hold all 10 spots on Billboard's Hot 100 chart. In Germany, a Düsseldorf museum realized their painting from Dutch abstract painter Piet Mondrian has been hung upside down for 77 years. The curator of the museum said she'd noticed the painting was hung the other way around in a photo from 1944. The painting was then exhibited upside down at the MoMA in New York before being passed on to the museum in Düsseldorf, still the wrong way around, without anyone noticing.
Me perdre dans la foule pour errer parmi les gens qui dansent avec un sourire inquiétant.
The feminist theatre Espace Go presents the play La Fureur de ce que je pense, drawn from novels of Quebec writer Nelly Arcan and directed by Marie Brassard. The play will be on from November 8 to December 3. This is Algerian singer Lila Borsali, who will be performing tonight at the Arab World Festival of Montreal. The festival runs until the 13th of November and will present live arts, films, debates and conferences around the theme of the body. And that's it for arts.
Thank you, Simon Fournet. In other extraordinary news this morning, researchers at McGill University found that penguin feathers may be the secret to effective anti-icing technology. This could mean the developing of chemical-free solution to ice build up on electric wires and possibly even for airplane wings. This is revolutionary discovery since the Great Ice Storm of 1998 that ravaged power lines and electric towers, which brought the US and southern Canada to a standstill. Although more research is needed, the results thus far are promising. Today, the skies will clear and temperatures will rise to 16 degrees in the afternoon. Tomorrow to Saturday, we are privileged with sunny days, peaking Friday at 22 degrees. Sunday will be rainy, though, low of 12 and high of 21. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening to Concordia News. I'm Esther Mahal.